Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they got stuck in a snowstorm, pulled over to find a hotel. They picked the cheapest one, but that was probably not their best idea.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Share your real ghost stories with us. If you'd like to call them in, it's 855-853-4802 or write them in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you'd like to get an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes and the archive, just become a premium subscriber. And you can do that through Apple Podcasts. If you go that route, you'll get it 3 days free. Check it out first. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. So, Kathy Gordon, how's it going today?
Well, it's going quite well. I'm very nervous that you brought up this very scary topic of snowstorms.
Oh, I thought you were going to say hotels, because I was like, oh, you know me. No, I'm like always freaked out about hotels.
I'm not, but this one, a snowstorm.
A snowstorm.
It's like The Shining, right?
Yes. It reminds me of once our brother Gary, and it was his wife now, but they were just dating at the time, Deb, and I decided to go from college in Concordia, Kansas, to your house in Colby, Kansas, in this intense snowstorm, to the point, like, we're in college, and so it's we had to go to classes that day, so it's night. And we're driving in the middle of Kansas on two-lane roads, and you could not see the road. The road looked just, like, snow-covered. So the only thing that was keeping us on the road were the markers. And sometimes you go, you know.
I've had that happen.
It's a mile marker. It doesn't record every tenth of a mile. And so it took forever. And we ended up having to pull over in this little town, Osborne, Kansas. And
well, you didn't even make it that far. From Osborne to Concordia.
I thought you meant we didn't make it to Osborne. I'm like, yeah, we didn't.
No, but I'm saying Osborne to Concordia isn't even
like
that
50
far.
Like miles.
You weren't even halfway to Colby.
Yeah. And the only hotel we could find was this really, it was like that feeling like you walk in.
It's
and
the
it's
Twilight
like,
Zone, right?
Like everything was wood, you know, and it was like dark and like lodge-like, but lodge-like from the 1930s is kind of what it felt like. It was just like, God. And of course,
what
I got my own
room. What was the person working the desk like?
I don't remember because I'm so traumatized by sleeping there.
Oh.
Because, of course, I can't sleep because, you know, it's me, Gary, and Deb, and they got their own room, and I don't even know where I came up with the money to get my own.
Oh, I was going to say, that's so weird that you guys had enough money to each have your own room.
No. It was probably
that might be
Deb.
The strange, most paranormal thing about this whole story.
It was probably our sister-in-law, Deb, paid for theirs. I had to cough up. Because, you know, I was a cocktail waitress at the Best Western at the time, so I was making oodles of money.
That is true. I told you I was scared of snowstorms. Now y'all know why.
Anyways.
But,
yeah, so snowstorm and having to find a hotel ever since that night has creeped me out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see what happened with these people.
Yeah,
so
and then says, like all the people up in Minnesota are like, hold my beer. Like, you know.
That's every day, wuss.
Like, their eyes, you know. What?
So this isn't the same thing with college. While I was in college in Oregon, I had a boyfriend with family in Southern California. And during our holiday breaks, we would drive down to visit his parents. During winter break one year, we were on our way back home. We were driving up I-5, probably an hour from the Oregon border. We got caught in a nasty snowstorm that got even worse the further we trekked up the mountains. Okay, that makes it worse. You've got mountains involved.
Mountains.
Oh, my God.
Oh, people.
It's terrifying to me.
This gets
scarier. Because I'm kind of afraid of mountains
second.
Anyway, and I don't know why. I just kind of, I don't know, maybe if it's heights.
This might be the scariest story we've ever
this
had.
This could be. This could be. You're right. I should just go back and rename this. Possibly the scariest episode we've ever shared. It involves a snowstorm, mountains, and a hotel.
In a hotel.
So it's,
if you dare.
Listen, if you dare. So it says, we decided to pull off at the closest exit and find a hotel. We checked the rates at the handful of hotels in the town, which was a pretty creepy place. It's set amongst forests of tall, menacing evergreens, sharp mountain peaks, and dark, winding roads.
At night.
At night. Pretty standard fodder for the Northwest, but a little ominous at night during a heavy snowfall. The town's tourism boomed in the 50s and still caters to tourists somewhat during the summer, so there are some semblances of civilization there in the form of family fun parks and camping grounds. But at the time we were there, it was definitely the off-season. Okay, add that into the creepy shit.
Yeah.
Off-season. We were not wealthy, and although we had saved up some money for the trip, my boyfriend was a proud cheapskate and insisted we find the hotel with the lowest rate. We ended up at a place that looked like it was straight out of a horror movie, built out of dark wood, illuminated by a single flickering light with a vacancy sign printed in sharp lettering. Oh, and we were the only car in the parking lot. I was not 100% certain about this choice, but figured it was only for the night, so I could make do. I did Google some online reviews of the motel before we went into the desk and found many reviews complaining about, this is also traumatizing, stained sheets, cigarette burns in the carpet, and ancient bathroom fixtures. One review caught my eye. A lodger said that they had stayed in a room with a door that connected to an adjacent room, and in the middle of the night, they were awoken to someone screaming and pounding on the door and the sounds of people stomping on the floor above them. I thought, well, that's not a story that inspires hope, but maybe they just had rude neighbors. So we got a room.
They are the only car in the parking lot, so maybe that's not going to happen.
Makes it creepier
maybe.
Actually.
Okay.
So we got a room, and as the reviewers had mentioned, everything was super outdated and had clearly seen better days. The bathroom's heater was rusted over, the sink looked like it was original and hadn't been cleaned well, ever. Bedspread was full of cigarette burns, and the floor... Don't even get me started. I almost refused to take my shoes off. I have in a hotel where I cannot on this carpet.
Oh, I'll sleep
I can't,
in my shoes before I'll put my feet down on that carpet. Yeah, I'm with you.
There was a door at the back of the room leading out to what used to be a pool, but was now a rusted out hole in the ground. Very welcoming.
You know how I feel about empty, abandoned swimming pools. They're so creepy.
And you might not even known that it had it. Might have said pool on the sign since they did have a vacancy sign out front. That says it all right there. If they have a vacancy sign, don't even stay. Because it's either for, it's used for prostitution or it's really, really old. Or both.
With stained sheets.
By the hour.
Oh,
it says, alas, my boyfriend and I were exhausted and ready to finish the day, so we went to bed. I was awoken some hours later out of a deep sleep to a barrage of noise. Our room happened to have a door connecting ours to the adjacent room, and it sounded like someone was aggressively trying to get into our side. The doorknob was shaking. The door was being pounded on. I heard loud knocking on the walls like someone was throwing their weight against them. And I heard loud bangs coming from the floor above us like someone was dropping bowling balls on the floor. God. I cannot stress enough how loud it was. It was as though a group of people with a combined fury of a freight train was trying any means possible to get into our room. My eyes were wide open as I waited for the noise to stop, but it didn't. I was terrified. Creepy motel in the middle of nowhere with so many ghost story red flags, all for $55 a night. I almost cried. I was so scared. I am quite a pansy when it comes to these things, and this night was no exception. In the dim light, I looked at my boyfriend, who is also awake, and asked him, "Have you had enough? Can we leave now?" See, it was at this point of the story I thought it was going to go. And then I looked at my boyfriend, who was sound asleep, and I tried to get him to wake up, and he wouldn't wake up. Because there's always those damn boyfriends who sleep through everything.
Yeah.
Luckily, he was awake.
Okay, good.
Without hesitation, he agreed to get the hell out of there, and we hurriedly threw our stuff in our bags and walked outside to the car. It was just about sunrise, and the snow had stopped falling, so we were good to go. Not that I really cared either way. I just wanted to be out of that motel. It has since closed, thankfully, but I've always wondered about it. I'm not sure if this was a paranormal situation, but considering a Yelp review reflected my own experiences almost word for word, I couldn't help but think it was something residual. The setting was certainly creepy enough and old enough and had probably housed a lot of people over the decades. I now live in Texas in a house where two people have died, so maybe I'll have more stories in the future. For now, we're not sure if our house is haunted, but we've had some strange experiences with lights turning on and off by themselves. Thanks, y'all. Katie. I'm thinking the residual haunting might be it.
I'm going to go with scariest story ever still. That was super scary.
It had all the elements.
It did. Now, with that said, I would like to know when they came out in the morning early, were they still the only car in the parking lot?
True.
Did it look like anyone else had walked into the room beside them?
Yes. That would be interesting.
That I would like to know. Because, you know, sometimes you check in and then people check in after you later. And, you know, but I would love to know if they walked out and the snow was all pristine around the other doors and there were no other cars and that kind of thing. That would tell me a whole bunch.
However, even if there were some other cars, I think this residual thing is where it's at, because the fact that you would read a Yelp review and almost exactly what happened to that person happened to you, and like what explains
and boyfriend heard
that.
It too. It wasn't just her being scared and thinking about the Yelp review that she read. He's hearing it too. He's like, yeah, oh hell yeah, let's get out of here.
And just to have so many similarities, you know, the odds of, what would be the odds of that happening to the Yelp reviewer? And then
you could have a
same thing,
hotel thing going where, you know, you've got this creepy guy who does things to scare people, you know.
You know, you mean kill them? That's pretty terrifying.
Well, I was thinking not quite as far as that, but, you know, you're just scaring people at night that are checking into your hotel. I suppose you could have that. To me, that's absolutely just as creepy.
Yeah.
Some creepy guy.
I mean, maybe.
Who can see. That's the other thing that scares me. They can, like, see into your room.
I mean, if they had surveillance video, they could.
Yeah, or they even, you know, used to do that thing where they could, like, behind a mirror and they'd see you.
Oh, yeah.
You remember? They would do those weird things, or, like, they would drill a hole in something so they could see. You know, I tell you guys, sometimes I'm more scared of real people than I am ghosts. But,
well, now so you've just traumatized people for renting hotel rooms. They're going to be
telling you, right?
Is anybody behind this mirror? I got to take it off the wall.
Yeah, don't take off your clothes or anything when you're in a hotel. Just keep wearing the same outfit when you go to that conference every day. I'm thinking, I can't decide whether I want to go paranormal or really psycho guy.
I'm all in on the residual haunting. I'm all in on that.
Well, you'd have to have somebody upstairs too. because you could pull on the door between them.
Bowling balls.
But there was also stuff going on above them. And she didn't say whether this was two-story or was it just in the roof above them.
Hmm. I assumed it was two stories. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm going with residual.
I'll
go like that.
I'll go with you.
Okay. Here is our next story.
I am a long-time listener, first-time caller. This just happened to me and my friend Rachel. I don't want to use our real names. I am going to be Marie from New Mexico, and I'm here with my friend Rachel. We are both firm believers, and we like to consider ourselves very spiritual, and we like to consider ourselves empaths also. So this experience actually just happened within the last 20-30 minutes, and we thought it would be a great time to call and to tell you guys our story. So we're both in college, and I am in her dorm room, and we're having a sleepover. Rachel goes and she turns off the lights, and I just look around the room, and I see this tall, black, huge figure, and the shoulders are hunched over, and the face is huge. It looks like a cross between a human and a wolf. It has long, very long, sharp teeth hanging out of its mouth, and its eyes has a red glint to it. I immediately freaked out. I said, Rachel, can we please turn on the lights? And like, so scared, my heart's pounding in my chest. People say your heart gets faster and lighter when you're scared, but our hearts were just, it felt like somebody grabbed a sledgehammer and was beating our chest. It was so bad. So I told her what I saw. We left the room to go back to my dorm room to get some sage and to get my Bible that Rachel gave me. When we got to my dorm room, we couldn't open the door. And usually, no big deal. The lock just won't work. Because of a previous encounter in my room, we just assumed it was that. I will call in again, I promise, and tell you guys all about the story. Because it is just as terrifying as this one, but this one just, it might be worse. So after we couldn't open the door, we freaked out, and instead of coming straight back to Rachel's room, since we knew the thing was in here, we went over to our friend's room, Jeremy, and we had him go try to open my door so we can grab the sage. And as soon as he went down there, he could open the door. So we're not sure if maybe the door doesn't like us, or if it was that entity that is in my room. We called a roommate, tried to see if she was there, and she wasn't there. So we knew it wasn't her just holding the door back. It was something else. So the boys got it open, and we were freaking out because we couldn't get the door open, so we thought it must have been because she has this presence in her room and I have a presence in my room. And yes, long story short, we finally got the sage. We came back to Rachel's room and we saged her entire room. We said the Lord's Prayer. We wanted to cover all the bases that we can for this time. Once we finally finished saging, we were trying to relax and puzzle ourselves back together when we hear a loud slam. And it turns out it was the bathroom door. I know what you're saying. Maybe the door was just open and somebody went in and used the bathroom, but that's not the case because it never happens like that. Because if somebody else opens the door, like Rachel Sweetbeat, then you can hear the door that they have to open, and then the bathroom door open. There was no squeaking. There was just one loud, huge bang, and it sounded like it was coming from the closet. So now we are both awake, and we're probably not going to go to sleep, so we decided it was the perfect time to call you guys. I will call back in again with my ghost story that I have in my dorm room. Thank you so much for hearing us out. If you have any words of wisdom, we would be so glad to hear it. Thank you again. And Mom, if you're listening, hi. Bye.
I love that part. Mom, if you're listening, hi.
Okay, I'm going to title this one, Rachel's Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Night. That's how I'm like
infinity.
That's too much stuff, right? Like, so we start off with some sort of strange entity, okay? And it seemed to be a very frightening one to me. She seemed to be able to see it well. She described it really well. Teeth, red eyes, you know, kind of a cross between, what'd she say? A wolf?
Yeah. And I can't remember what else. A wolf and
yeah,
something.
Yeah. So that's frightening. Then the door's locked. Now, maybe that's just a fluke, right? That they can't get in. That could happen. I could see that. Then a door slams once again. Could be a fluke, but we put it all together and it just makes for everything that happens after you see something or, you know, experience something paranormal. Everything's frightening after that point.
Right.
No matter what happens, it's going to be, oh my God, the radio, you know, is on, it's off, the TV is on or whatever. It's just like everything is intensified and you could even hear it in her voice by a million.
That place just sounds haunted, like creepy stuff going on there.
Well, it's the college, right? It's a room at college. And we've talked about colleges being haunted. And I can, you know, it always makes sense to me because colleges are just absolutely full of emotional young people, you know, that are right at that time of their life where everything is magnified 1,000,000%. And, you know, it's just so much emotion is happening there and, you know, so many happy times and tears and everything that could happen when you're 19 and 20 years old and 21. So it makes sense to me that you would have, you know, spirits that would come back there or be there.
Yeah.
That's
agreed.
Where they want to be. You know, some of their best times were there and you can understand that. This I don't quite put in that because it was more of an odd monster,
maybe like a shapeshifter.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah,
I don't know if I believe in that sort of thing, but I mean, that's out there.
Yeah,
lots of people do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you explain it, but it's weird. Like you could hear it in her voice. She
yeah, and she said it just happened, right? And so they were, you know, all shook up about it. So, and like I said, the other things I think we might be able to explain away a little bit somehow, some way, if we sat down with them and chatted about it more. What she saw, and I didn't quite understand, did the other girl not see it? Because she was saying, please turn on the light, turn on the light. Like, that would be the first thing I do.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
You won't have to ask me to turn on a light. Like, I just see something. I said, if I turn on the light,
I would be like, I'm turning on the light and running.
Yeah, I wouldn't even ask her. I would just do it.
Hello, this is happening. I'm turning on the light and running down the hall and getting the F out of here. So stay put if you want.
Yeah, right?
I'd be down the hallway before that sentence even was finished.
I'm headed to, there's other rooms with other people. I've got friends. I can go sleep there tonight, you know.
And you know what? There's other colleges I can transfer. Yeah. Hell of this shit.
Call in the registrar in the morning.
Because nobody should have to go to college and live through this. College is hard enough. You know, it's like, it's a lot of growing emotionally. There's a lot of pressure. You're out a lot of times when you're young, you know, you're staying in a dorm. So you're away from your parents for the first time. And then you got to deal with that shit.
That's right.
So not fair.
So I'm not sure. I think she saw something that scared the crap out of her.
Okay. So quick hypothetical. Quick hypothetical. So you are a college instructor. And so if, and you have excuses all the time. Like, it's funny. Oh, like, Kathy.
You guys, I need to write you a book about excuses. Yeah,
it's funny because every year at the end of the semester, Kathy will send, like, to her family, like, these anonymous, we don't know who they came from, but things the kids wrote from, you know, it's just kind of funny. Or the excuses they come up with. Say you had
the excuses are always the best.
But say you had a student that came up and told you that story and they missed class the next day because of that story. What would you do? You
know, I'd almost give it to them because it was such a great excuse, you know?
And then it's like, even if it didn't happen.
My favorite excuse I ever got in the world was this girl who came in and said, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it to class because my stupid pothead mother wouldn't take care of my kids. And I was, you know, I'm standing there staring at her thinking, what's worse? Like, you weren't in class, but then you've got a pothead mom. I don't know that. I want to leave the kids with her. You
right.
know, like,
and your pothead mom has to take
up.
Care of the kids.
And you know what I said? Excused. That, it just made me laugh so hard. I was like, not a problem. You are excused. That was a good one.
But then the funny thing is Kathy has had the same person tell her her grandmother has died numerous times. That's kind of a standard one with the grandparents dying.
Yes, that one. I had two grandmother issues the other morning, like the same morning. I get two emails with, you know, and you guys, it could be somebody's grandma's sick or whatever. It could happen, but, like, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, don't
the
you
teachers,
remember your grandmother already died?
Is well, it's sometimes the teachers talk to each other, you know. And they'll say, so-and-so's grandmother died. And I'm like, wait a minute. She died a month ago. You know, and we're all looking at each other. And some other teacher goes, oh, no. I think she died a couple weeks. Like, we're all like, this person has died four times with four different teachers.
Oh, get your story straight is the moral of the story.
Just depends on when the papers do.
So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. We'd like to hear it. You can call in 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also become a premium subscriber, no commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archives. Sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.